Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barr.
Present.
Councilmember Albertson.
Present.
Councilmember John Gordon.
Here.
Vice Mayor Williams.
Here.
Mayor Lawson.
Here.
For the record, we're expecting Councilmember Charles shortly, and Councilmember Forbes is traveling this evening.
Thank you, Lori. Next item on the agenda, people to be heard. Please remember you have 5 minutes. When you come up, state your name and spell it for the record. First, I have Walter Jim, representing ONC.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council. My name is Walter Jim, W-A-L-T-E-R-J-I-M. I'm here officially as a tribal council member for the Native Village of Bethel. Also to speak on behalf of opposing the proposed transfer license, the liquor license from Cusco Liquor to AC. You know, currently we have one liquor store, and that's we have enough problems as it is with this one liquor store, and having two, not gonna make anything better for our community. It might be better for the AC as far as business, but as far as our community goes, we don't need another liquor license. You know, we saw a spike of people from the villages that inhabited or just stayed here in Bethel and drank and wandered the streets, and you know, they stuck around Swanson Store by the riverfront in their own Catholic church. And that wasn't a bad sight. It was not good. The last time AC had a liquor store up at Ridgecrest, was it Ridgecrest or Atsuk? Akakik. Yeah, there was a lot of inebriated individuals. A lot of them hung around in groups in these neighborhoods, in that Asha Heights neighborhood. And it was pretty bad. There's a lot of kids that live in that neighborhood, and we just don't need another liquor store here in Bethel. Having one here is bad enough. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jim. Up next, I have Annie Cochran and Little One.
Annie Cochran, A-N-N-Y-C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E, but I think you guys know that. I am here today to express my own personal views. Today, I was reading on KYUK, and there was a comment from Council Member Albertson, and it said, when given the opportunity, Alaska Commercial Company did not do the things that they know would have prevented deaths and misery in our community. They were the first company opening up. They opened up under the guidelines of the Bethel Municipal Code. I feel like the code didn't protect them. I did see that there is a proposal of two bottles. I like that proposal. It still doesn't limit anything that our bootleggers do, but it's a start. I do want to really talk about, I'm actually in support of this transfer. Alcohol is still a very controversial subject in our community. We are the hub for many villages around us, and many of them do not allow liquor there. I was here when the Planning Commission was talking about reasons that they would go ahead and protest it, and one of the things that they cited was there was some issues when that there was an increase of over 300% of individuals who were intoxicated at the AC Main Store. I thought that was quite intriguing because AC Main Store wasn't selling the liquor. It was coming from another store. And what was happening was that individuals were coming to their place of business. They were coming to other businesses as well. And I think that what they did was they cited one location that they were picked up at, between Video World and the BNC building. And that's just a place that individuals who are inebriated like to congregate. AC's not selling. Today I had two intoxicated individuals in the lobby of the BNC complex who were completely passed out and asleep, and they're not selling. One of the things that's going on with the new liquor store that I'm very opposed to is they're selling shots, single shots of liquor. So AC has said that they won't do that. They've said that they will go ahead and make other steps to make sure that our community is safer. I spoke with Seth at the end of last year when the whole liquor controversy was coming. And I asked him if the council had ever contacted him to alert him that some changes need to be made. And it was really funny because everybody's sitting talking about the problem, but nobody ever contacted AC to ask what we could do to go ahead and help our community. And so we just want to label them as doing bad things in our community. I'm not for that. If we really, really, really want to resolve our community issue, we need to talk about having a distribution site where all the liquor comes in, because you guys aren't tracking the pallets of R&R that are coming in and being bootlegged. Many of the individuals who are inebriated in the areas that I see them are red stripes, so they're not even legally allowed to purchase it. If we want to keep our family safe, we need to do that. I think that as a community, we treated AC poorly. When we shut them down, we had public testimony. I listened to the public testimony. The public testimony was that alcohol was bad, that alcohol had caused all these things. They didn't really show what AC had done to cause that. What they were, I listened to it. It was really, really rough to listen to. And to think that they got closed down overnight because the public, I don't think it was fair business practices. And I think that's the reason Cesari has been hesitant to put hundreds of thousands of dollars into his business, when overnight you guys could just shut him down and he would not be able to recoup the costs. I want you guys to remember that voters approved the sale of alcohol. Leaving it to monopoly, I don't think is a good thing. I also want you to remember what the AC store does for our community. They donate. They donate to my homeless shelter. They donate to my food bank. They donate to the Lions Club. They donate to Lunch in the Park. They donate it to all of the schools. The year-end prizes that our kids bring home, they come from donations from AC. They donate to Bethel Search and Rescue. They donate to Bevesa. When we wanted to raise money for that brand new ambulance that we all love, they were the one, remember, in their parking lot, they gave 100% of the items so that we could fundraise to raise money for that ambulance. I don't think that there is a for-profit company doing more in our community than AC. And I think for us to slander them and say it was all of their fault, no, we didn't have the policies in place. They've come with a plan. I don't think it's too late. I fully support them being able to raise taxes in our community and to be able to continue to give back to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Cochran. Up next, I have John Cochran. And little one.
Hi, sorry about the prop. John, J-O-N, Cochran, C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E. Also in support of the transfer, a lot of the arguments I've heard against the transfer plainly don't make sense to me. The first argument is Bethel already has one liquor store, that's enough. Well, we've already approved two liquor stores. If we don't do the transfer, then Cesari's going to open his liquor store. So the question I ask myself is, who's more equipped to handle it? An independent person starting a business for the first time, or someone that's it's not their first rodeo, they know how it works, they have the resources to put into security and planning and everything that it takes to make it safe. Secondly, I hear a lot of trying to hold AC accountable for the last time they opened a liquor store. Well, the main problem with the last liquor store was location. And the location, yes, AC chose it, but the Bethel Planning Commission approved it. Bethel Planning Commission decided, yes, you can put it right in the middle of housing. Yes, you can put it near those families and those kids. Yes, there's adequate parking. And then after the fact, we said, hey, there's a lot of kids there. Hey, it's right in the middle of housing. Hey, there's not enough parking. Well, that's on us. That's not on them, because we approved it. At this point, all of the problems that I've seen brought up about the liquor store have been addressed bullet by bullet by bullet. So what I see is us holding someone accountable for something that they haven't had a chance to fix yet. At the end of the day, liquor's legal. We have more than one liquor license in this community, and we're going to get another liquor store, whether AC opens it or somebody else does. I'd rather have somebody that's equipped to open it and run it right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cochran. Up next, I have Wolfgang. I don't want to brutalize your last name, so.
It's the same last name.
Jung?
Jung, yes. Well, good evening, and thank you for allowing me to speak for a few minutes.
Go ahead and state your name.
My name is Wolfgang Jung. It's J-U-N-G-E for the record. I'm the Central Region Department of Transportation Director. Bethel is one of our areas, of course. L.J. Davis is our main point of contact. Also wanted to introduce Charlie Wagner. He's our Chief Maintenance Operations for the region as well. So he and I are out here to do a few trips with LJ out to some of the villages. But I thought I'd take this opportunity to just swing by and report on a few projects that we have coming up in the near term. Of course, you're all aware of the Chief Eddy and Ridgecrest project was bid earlier this year. Connect Construction is the contractor on that one. Most of the construction will take place in 2020, but there is a requirement to do a first lift by the end of August. So we're very optimistic. We know they're moving their asphalt plant to Antioch temporarily, but the asphalt plant should be back, and they should be able to get that first lift in before the snow flies again. So we hope to see get you some relief on that. The next one that we've got in the hopper, we've got so the bid on Ridgecrest was $12 million. The Bethel Main Runway construction, that's anticipated for 2021. The current estimate on that is $40 million. So that'll be that's in development right now, but we should have that in construction in 2021. The Bethel Parallel Runway, if you've heard some rumors about some bumps out there on the parallel, we're going to be fixing that in 2020. The estimate on that is around $9 million. So just in the next 2 to 3 years, we should be dropping about $60 million worth of construction into the community. We also have the Tundra Ridge project still in play. Many of you know there's been some challenges with right-of-way acquisitions and stuff in that project. But we are working with the Department of Justice and Department of Law to resolve those issues, and we should have that hopefully underway in the next 2 to 3 years as well. So. Other than that, I wanted to thank the community. I believe your last city manager, we worked with that person to obtain some grants to replace your 5,000-gallon tanker trucks. There were some overweight restrictions on those vehicles, and it sounds like those should be arriving next year is the hope. I actually scheduled this trip a few months ago to meet with your city manager, but I guess that person is gone now. So when you have a replacement for that, we'd be happy to talk with them. You're the person. Okay, great. So we'll get with you. With any luck at all, those vehicles will arrive next year, and we can get the overweight vehicles off the road, and it's really damages that pavement quite a bit. And we're looking forward to the new vehicles arriving, and hopefully get within compliance on that as well. If there's any questions for me, I'll be around for a little bit. And both Charlie and I are here tomorrow, so maybe we can come meet with you tomorrow at some point and chat a little bit. But thank you for your time.
Wolfgang, I got a quick question. So the public thinks, what are we going to be redoing? You said the lift this year. What does that mean?
So they'll grind and level the sub base this year and get everything flat, and then they'll put the first, I think it's a 2-inch lift of asphalt pavement this year. They'll
come
back
next
year.
From the airport down? Or
I'm sorry?
Is that the entire state highway?
I believe that, yeah, that's the contract requirement.
Okay.
So Ron Searcy is the project manager in the construction side of the house. But I'm the only one with Wolfgang Jung in the whole DOT inventory, so give me a call.
Yes, sir.
If you need me to put a shoulder to that. So happy to do that.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions?
Vice Mayor Williams.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand that DOT received $8 million for construction on the airport. It just came out, I think, yesterday. I saw on KTUU. Do you know what that $8 million was for our airport?
Right. We're tracking $9 million for the parallel runway fix right now. That might be the funds you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't know if we received a letter of correction from FAA on that in that regard, but we are going to address it immediately.
Okay.
So that's probably the funds you're talking about.
Okay. I saw that, and I was wondering where that money was going to be used for.
Okay. So a fairly substantial investment in Bethel over the next few years. We appreciate Senator Hoffman's backing. It always helps us to keep your projects and interests into the program. And I appreciate your support as well.
So. Thank you, Mr. Jung.
Thank you.
Up next, I have Ms. Eileen Arnold.
Thank you, City Council members. My name is Eileen Arnold, E-I-L-E-E-N, Arnold, A-R-N-O-L-D. I'm here to oppose the transfer to AC under what we're commonly saying is that AC did not manage that store responsibly. And it's not true that they had no chance and were not notified at all that there were problems. We started a whole task force because of the problems that existed here in Bethel. We had every major agency. We had city council members. We had AC at the table. They neglected to do anything at all. So when they got closed down because of how many people were complaining because of what was going on, I mean, that's a clear consequence for not taking any action when they had the chance. The only thing that they did do was close down on Sundays when a community member asked them to, because the heat was on at that point. We had started the task force. The ABC control board was coming out here to have a specific hearing on the harm that was going on out here. It is simply not true that they had no chance to be better actors, to be better managers. They had plenty of chances. I was here at all those meetings. So, I'm for anything that is harm reduction, for anything, for any policy that will, you know, lessen the amount of harm that we experience in this community. There's a lot of harm, one way or the other, that comes from alcohol. There's been less harm, much less harm, since the AC store closed down, and I think every agency that collects data would be able to show that data. So that's the main reason why I would oppose them getting the liquor license. I know this community can have two liquor licenses. Fine. I don't think AC deserves to have a second chance. The second thing in regards to harm reduction, I would support the measures, the restrictions that Councilman Albertson is proposing, because again, like there's so many studies that the less affordable and the less available alcohol is, the less problems we're going to have caused by it. So, I mean, if we continue to stay a wet community, then any sort of reduction, any sort of policies that restricts people's access is going to be helpful to this community and lower the harm in general. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Arnold. Let the record show Councilman Charles as attendant. Welcome, Fritz. Up next, I have Cesari.
Good evening, everybody, and my name is Cesari Maczynski, C-E-Z-A-R-Y-M-A-C-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. I'm portion invite with this whole alcohol. I have the license. I've been watching KC when they have him on Tundra Ridge, housing liquor store. And I heard today Mr. Albertson talking to the radio, really made out the sound like the desorbit to be kicked out, the close up. I was watching really close AC. I never see the break any state law, federal law, or city law. They have an issue, liquor license, and the store being open, approval by you, sir, and others, to conditional use permit, a liquor store, this retail store, to sell alcohol. And there was no, actually, they dropped them themselves to one or two cases because liquor store is unlimited to sell. And this time, this is what I understood with previous meetings with the planning commission, they explained probably in here too, they're dropping lots with the and give lots of good things to running the liquor store and operating. So I don't see, there was bad location, all right. There was kids going from school and there was, but the location and the approval by the city council and planning commission. So they do what they that's why when there been ABC meeting in Battle, the main reason when there was close up, there was bad location. There was too much housing, low income, and kids going lunches and etc. And everybody people go scared to go to the store with the kids. That was one thing. And I would like to know which the rules they break, because I hear all the time, oh, they do wrong thing. They do lots of wrong thing. They've been allowed through the voting to open the liquor store. Secondly, last few days I spent lots of money. There was people preparing in Anchorage to ship out everything to the one nail to tomorrow put it on the linden. And I was promised by the contractors to the my store be open not later like 11 July or early. And that is possible. I talked to Harry Faulkner. He said, 1 week with easy way, put my shop down and turn it to parking spot. So in my, to the look for the hate and choose liquor store right over the seawall, what you folks approve, or have much safer place, they have no common sense. I'm losing, if I open, I'm making millions. But I choose to transfer that. There's one in the base, my decision, for the safety of the people, for safety of the villages. Not concentrate everything with one spot by the river. Just move this thing away to maybe save somebody's life. That is one of the, my reasons to the transfer that even I lose money. Even I know how to be making millions. I'd be fine with it. So that's what I want to say. And I strongly support the transfer, but if they don't go through, I have to put a few $100,000 and open up quickly because there will be happen. I'm making the money back with the 2 months. So, or one. So what the, but with the common sense and no, and the logic, the transfer is pretty good for the city and people in villages and people better. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Cesare. Saving the best for last, we have Mr. Dave Trantham.
Good evening, members of the council. My name is David E. Trantham, Jr. My last name is spelled T-R-A-N-T-H-A-M. Thank you for this opportunity to address the council. I do research on alcohol. My family has been seriously impacted by alcohol. I believe sincerely, with all my soul, my heart, and my brain, that illegal alcohol, not sold in a legal liquor store, and by the way, the people voted twice, if I'm mistaken, please correct me, Mr. Mayor, to have legal sales in this community. If I'm incorrect on that, I apologize. According to my research, years and years and years of research, and by the way, I don't drink. My daddy and mother did not drink alcohol. But these are changing times, a world I don't understand. According to my research, more than two-thirds of the problems involved by alcohol did not come from a legal store. They came from illegal stores, bootleggers. It's too bad the city does not keep statistics when they have contact with people to ask them where they got their booze. Before you make your decision tonight, would you ask the chief or consider asking the chief if they have statistics, if they agree or disagree with my research? More than two-thirds, according to my years and years of research, the alcohol came from illegal liquor stores, not legal liquor stores. I hear finger pointing tonight. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm asking you if you would please consider providing some data to disprove my research before you make your decision. I respectfully request that you provide some information that I'm wrong, my research is flawed, or if your information is flawed. I know how much time I have, Mr. Mayor. 1 minute, sir. In conclusion, I thank you for hearing me out tonight. I'm over 90 years old. I've lived here a long time. I've seen it all, council members. I've experienced it all through family members. The devastation caused by alcohol. Keep in mind the people did vote to have legal sales. They did not vote for illegal sales. What has the city done about illegal sales? What has the state troopers done about illegal sales? Thank you, members of the council. Thank you very much. Thank you, and have a pleasant day.
Thank you, Mr. Trantham. Is there anybody else in the gallery that would like to speak? I got Mary Ninowak and then Delray. Delray.
My name is Mary Ninowak, M-E-R-Y-N-E-N-U-W-A-K. I just wanted to say some things about 10-2 and 10-3 that concern alcoholic beverages and the transfer of the package store from Costco Liquor to ACC. I just cannot see why, when alcohol is a big problem in the region, that you all insist on using alcohol to make monies. That does not make sense. And another thing that I keep noticing is, like, nobody was elected to be just helping their immediate families and neighbors. That's wrong. If people are going to run on that issue, they should not bother running. And it gets really upsetting, like, when we go for help to write things up, we're told that, oh, you can't do this, you got to do it this way. I mean, like, we go through what we're told to do for years. When the year is up, we have to start from going from persons to agencies. And again, that's not right. And I do not care what people say, that alcohol is a good thing, it's a safe thing, because that's a big fat lie. There just is not anything good about alcohol. On a talk show recently, I heard a woman saying that people who are on marijuana, they are better off than people who drink. And her reasoning was that people who smoke dope, they can wait another day to get their dope. And again, that's not true, because people who want dope, they've gone out stealing from people. They're very abusive. And so please, it seems like by now that you all should start thinking, doing something else to gain money rather than from alcohol and from drugs. I have a lot to say, but I will stop here. And I don't like it when a person like, who's supposed to be helpful? When there are people around you and scream, do you need help? But when you're by yourself, it's like you don't even exist, and I hate that, like everyone else does. And I don't. There's just like no excuse. Oh, I'm only here for a certain time. Just quit making excuses and do the job that you, everyone was elected for and hired for. Please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Nunawak. State your name and spell for the record, please.
Dallarie Peters, D-A-L-A-R-I-E-P-E-T-E-R-S. I am neutral on this issue. However, we've all been asked where we're from, and we've said Bethel. And then we have somebody that says, oh, I'm sorry. You know, it's kind of insulting, but a lot of that is because we have a lot of visitors that come to town, and Annie brought up planning and zoning, and I think that's important to keep in mind that the majority of our visitors to Bethel do, the hotels are all near the liquor stores where they will both be, and it's important that we have a police presence or some kind of a plan in place to make sure that our visitors aren't bothered, because we have, for all our organizations, we have a lot of trainers and important people that come to town, and we want to ensure their safety. There was multiple attacks at the Longhouse, and we've all had to call the cops when passing by DV situations or drunks, and how long does it take to get a cop? It takes quite a while. But we know what to do because we're from here. Our visitors don't. So I just want to ask that the council and the city keep that in mind, and that they work hard to ensure the safety of all our visitors to Bethel. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Peters. Is there anybody else that would like to be heard that did not sign up? Hearing none, we'll close people to be heard. Go on to the next item, approval of a consent agenda and regular agenda. Is there a motion? Thank you, Mr. Barr. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. Any changes? Vice Mayor Williams.
I ask to remove item 10.1 and 10.2 off the consent agenda.
10.1 and 10.2. So that's removing the introduction of Ordinance 1913, authorizing disposal via lease of land and building to Yukon Custom Health Corporation, and introduction of Ordinance 1914, amending Title 5.0 at alcoholic beverages. Any further changes? Do we have anybody on the phone?
Not that I'm aware of. No council members are on the phone.
Okay. Hearing none. All those in favor of the amended agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have an agenda. Item 6, approval of minutes passed on a consent agenda. Going on to item number 7, reports of standing committee. We'll start on the left once again, Mr. Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was unable to attend the finance meeting yesterday as I was on travel, but I understand that the city clerk did a fantastic job of hosting as a substitute for me, so I'd like for her to maybe discuss a little bit about what the finance committee talked about.
The finance committee received a training from the city clerk's office, and they also quickly reviewed a financial investment policy, which is going to be redrafted by the finance director and presented at the next finance committee meeting in July. That's all they did.
Thank you, Lori. Mr. Barr. Vice Mayor Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Planning Commission met June 13th. Items, the minutes are in your agenda. Items that were talked about were the conditional use permit for AC on 3rd Avenue, and that passed. So that was the only thing discussed on the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission will meet again on July 11th.
Thank you, Mr. Rooms. This is John Jordan.
Yep, there was a meeting last Wednesday of the Public Works Committee, and what was spoken about was the City of Bethel code enforcer, and then a recommendation for the code enforcer, and then also a review of Bethel dumpster survey.
Thank you, Mrs. Carol Jung Jordan. For the Port Commission, we attempted to have a meeting on the 17th. We were one short of a quorum, so we will meet again next month. Mr. Charles?
For the Public Safety Transportation Committee meeting, had no meeting since our last meeting. Our next meeting is scheduled for July 3 at 6:30.
Mr. Albertson?
I think we have a representative here from the Community Action Grant.
Please state your name. State.
My name is Sean Grady Deaton, D-E-A-T-O-N, and I stand before you as representative of the Citizen Action Grant Committee. You have the details of our last meeting in front of you. All I stand before you to report is that there is a high degree of, I would call it consensus among the members of that committee, and the only time there's any contention among members of the committee is when we're being judicious about the spending of funds. And if you have any questions.
There was three applicants that we reviewed. And,
yeah, you have the details.
Yeah, recommendations are in there. Any questions on?
Thank you, Mr. Eaton. Mr. Robinson. And that is it. Moving on to the next item of business, unfinished business. Public hearing of Ordinance 1912, authorizing disposal via lease of office space. Located at Lot 2, Courthouse Subdivision, Plot 99-12, 300 Chief Edwin Hoffman Highway. It's known as DMV, pursuant to BMC 4.08.030B, brought forth back to City Manager Bill Howell. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. Mr. Barr?
This is a ordinance brought forth by Acting City Manager Bill Howell. Bill, explain yourself.
Through the mayor, thank you, Councilmember Barr. This particular ordinance was debated quite strongly at our last meeting with regard to the amount of rent we should charge. We had initially provided a proposal to the council that would include a rent amount that was below the market rate as identified by our appraiser. We subsequently took direction from council to renegotiate that to the appraisal rate as suggested by the appraiser. The state has accepted that, and so we are going to the proposal you have before you tonight is the same with the exception of the rate, and so the state was able to come to the terms that the council had required, and I would suggest that we adopt this and begin charging that rate as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Just a quick note. I failed to open this up to public here, so is anybody that would like to speak to this from the gallery? Please accept my apologies. Hearing none, we'll move on. Vice Mayor Williams.
Chuck.
Did you second it?
Yeah, I seconded it.
You have anything to say?
No. I think this is a betterment for the city to bring this up and get the fair market value for that property that we're leasing to the state.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of adoption of Ordinance 1912, roll call vote, please.
Vice Mayor Williams.
Yes.
Councilmember Charles.
Yes.
Councilmember Barr.
Yes.
Councilmember Albertson.
Yes.
Mayor Watson.
Yes.
Councilmember Jones Jordan.
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 1912 passes unanimously. Moving on to new business 10.1, introduction of Ordinance 1913, authorizing the disposal via lease of land and building to Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, Lot 11, Block 7, U.S. Survey 3230, ENB at 378 Fifth Avenue, pursuant to BMC 4.08.030C, brought forth by Acting City Manager Howell. Is there a motion to introduce?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Is there a second? Thank you, Mrs. Carol Jung-Jordan. Mr. Barr?
Acting City Manager William Howell, please, through the mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Barr. This lease is for the property that we would commonly be understood to be on the old National Guard property between 5th Avenue, 4th Avenue, and Willow Street. There's an old building on that property that YKHC's OAH branch desires to use. We would be getting $1,600 a month for that. We're currently getting nothing for it. My understanding is that this amount was provided through an appraisal again. The only thing that's slightly different with this contract from, say, the DMV one we just reviewed is there's a $35,000 allowance to the new tenant to actually complete repairs on this. There's a schedule of payments based on the different levels of completion so that they can receive that payment. They have two options to renew for 5 years. And I think it's a good deal for the city. The building is in very old, unmaintained condition. And this is revenue that we just didn't have, and now we will have. So I would support the council approving this. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Further discussion? Mr. Albertson.
City Manager Howell. I'm sorry, I'm looking at this map, and I'm trying to understand exactly what property this is. It looks like the corner of Willow and something.
With.
That's 5th. Okay, great. Thanks.
Any further questions or discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Howell?
Did you have through the mayor, Councilmember Albertson, I guess this would kind of be directly behind the AC store across the street in the fenced area that is next to what used to be the Killbuck or the Armory gym.
It's inside the fence?
It's inside the fence, my understanding,
okay.
Yes.
We go in and...
Okay. And it is a brown, lopsided building I have no idea what the use for the guard used to be, but OEH has a desire to use this building.
Cool.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Mr. Charles?
I got a quick question for the city manager, Howell. Will YK be doing the study on the inside of that building for, like, lead paint or asbestos? Because that building is pretty old. I believe it was established back in the, I'd like to say the 70s at least. So lead paint was pretty popular back then. And who's going to have the expense of doing that study, if any way possible?
Through the mayor, Councilmember Charles, I can advise OEH of our concerns in that regard get back to you on that. I don't believe hazmat's been identified in there or any of this asbestos containing materials or lead paint. It's certainly something to take under advisement. As it sits now, the way the contract is written is that they would be responsible for dealing with the remodel and the reconstruction of the inside to make it safe for occupants. But I can advise them of that, if okay. That's your wish. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Howell, we will be voting on this at the next meeting, since this is an introduction. So you have 2 weeks to.
Then I support you introducing this.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any further questions or discussion? Mrs. Jung-Jordan?
Oh, I just had a question. Do you know what they're going to be using it for?
Through the mayor, Ms. Jordan, I believe that they'll be using it for training in OEH purposes. Perhaps the clerk could illuminate us a little bit. I think she might have a – you don't know anything about that?
Actually, this is my husband's apartment, but we haven't talked about it. I don't know what he's going to be using it.
So I think it's something to the effect of putting up traveling workers and doing training. They already rent one building from us on that property.
Oh, okay.
And so I can get that information for you, too, for the next meeting.
I was just curious because they're building that brand-new hospital, so I was wondering why they wanted to. I mean, I'm glad that they want to give us money for, you know, it's not being used, but I was just wondering.
Thank you.
Further discussion or questions? Hearing none. All those in favor of introduction of Ordinance 1913, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Introduction of Ordinance 1913 passes unanimously. Moving on to 10.2, introduction of Ordinance 1914, mending Title 5.08, alcoholic beverages brought forth by Council Member Albertson. Is there a motion to introduce?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. Is there a second? Once again, the introduction of Ordinance 1914 and Mendel Title 5.08 Alcohol Beverages. There is a motion to introduce. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Mr. Albertson.
Thanks. So some or all of you have been participants or at least aware that over the last, I don't know, a couple of years now, we've had the alcohol task force meetings. A few months ago, I was at one of those meetings, and I had the opportunity to speak with a current vendor of alcohol, and I'd sort of asked questions about, well, what do you think are the things that you're doing that are mitigating harm in our community? And we kind of started that conversation then, and he listed a couple of things out. I had the opportunity to talk to him again on June 10th, I think, just kind of exploring those things a little bit and what are the things that they're doing that they feel like are being helpful in reducing some of the negative outcomes in our community. And so that's kind of where this process started. And the concept is that this would change our code and it would be a closer reflection of some of the policies that would reduce harm. So it would be codified instead of voluntary. We've had some experience as a community with, asking for voluntary compliance on things. It's, you can argue about how well that's worked. But this would change the code. And the meaningful ways that it would do that is it would limit the amount, the number of bottles that are sold. Right? It does change the operating hours. And it also has changes regarding identification for purchasing. And those are, I think, well in line with what we've been hearing from community members as well, concerns about who's buying alcohol, when, how much, where, that sort of thing. So I didn't anticipate this really being a controversial ordinance change, since it seemed like the current vendor we had seemed at least loosely on board with it. And if we introduce this, there'll be an opportunity for public comment. But to me, it seemed like it was sort of in line with the direction that things were going. So with that, I'll, turn my time over and see if anyone has any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. And Mr. Barr?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have none.
further discussion? Mr. Charles.
I got a question, Mr. Albertson. In general, I like the ordinance, but the ID issue is already a state law, and is that necessary?
I'm probably going to ask the clerk to help me out a little bit. I've actually learned quite a bit about that. The law regarding ID for purchasing alcohol was not what I thought it was. I grew up in Anchorage, and I learned that some of the rules there are actually municipal rules, not state rules. So it seemed like I had assumed you always needed an ID to buy alcohol, and I guess that's not the case. So one of the comments that has come up is, well, how, you know, the state IDs have that red stripe on it and other IDs don't, right? And so if we don't require a state ID, then people could be purchasing alcohol who shouldn't. So I'm hoping Mr. Strickler could help me out on this.
So you are absolutely right. The requirement to provide an ID is the state law. The state law does not require that somebody provide a state of Alaska ID or driver's license. They could use a military ID or a passport. What this tries to do is to help ensure that when vendors are selling alcohol to people in their stores, that they are taking every step possible to ensure that they don't have restrictions on their license or that they are over the age to purchase alcohol to them. There, the signed statement that's listed under subsection 2 there, that is also a requirement for Alaska Statute Title 4, that if the vendor is unable to obtain an ID to prove that they are not restricted or otherwise 21, they could themselves protect themselves and have the purchaser sign a statement saying that they are of legal age to purchase alcohol and that they don't have restrictions. This is to ensure that they don't violate Alaska statute by selling to somebody who doesn't have a valid identification. This just takes it a step further to help ensure that the vendor is making sure that restriction is not there.
Thank you. I stand corrected. Did not know this. Thank you.